Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, let's open them up to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, and it's my honor today to welcome all of our life churches. I love you all so much, and our network churches. It's truly one of the greatest honors of my life to partner with you all from over 140 countries around the world. Welcome to you at Church Online. We are thrilled that you're worshiping with us today. We're beginning a brand new series called Forgotten Virtues, and I just have to say, I can't think of a time when I feel more burdened, a spiritual burden to share a series with you. I think it is really born out of my prayer time with God, and I know that it will minister to you, I believe, in a really profound way. Next week, we're going to talk about, in this very impure world that we live in, we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of purity. In a world of disposable relationships, we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of loyalty. In a world where anything goes, whatever benefits me, we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of integrity. And finally, in a place where people just believe they're entitled, I deserve this, we're going to reestablish and reclaim the forgotten virtue of believing in God and gratitude in every way. Today I want to talk to you about honor. So if I could get all of you at all of our churches just to say aloud the word honor. Say
honor.
Honor. And sadly, we live in a culture really where many of us live without honor. Honor. I'll give you an example. I've been traveling around the world to some different countries, and I've got a friend who's been to over 100 different countries, and so he's my go-to guy. Whenever I'm going somewhere, I'll ask him, how do I go in and show honor? Because each culture is very different in the ways that you show honor or what would be dishonoring. For example, when Amy and I flew to Korea to minister there, my friend told me some different things. For example, when you meet someone, it's honoring just to bow slightly, not a big deep bow, but just to slightly lower yourself below the other person to show honor. When you shake hands, you actually will grab kind of your elbow or your forearm, and this is a way of showing honor to the person that you're meeting. He also told me whenever you go in, you always bring a gift. It doesn't have to be something expensive. It can be just something very simple. And whenever you give the gift, you always give it with two hands, and the person receiving it receives it with two hands. It's a way of showing honor to one another. He also said you don't ever show the soles of your feet. If you lift up your feet on the desk like many people in my country would do, that would be very dishonoring because your feet are dirty and such. And we went on and on. So anytime I go to a new place, I ask him, how do I show honor and what would be dishonoring? After doing this in several different countries, I just got to thinking, and I asked him, if you were advising me and I was from another country coming to the U.S., what would you tell me to show honor in the United States? And he just laughed. He said, oh, I wouldn't tell you anything because everybody knows that doesn't really matter here. And I thought about it. Now, this was just one guy's perspective, but you have to admit, in my country, so often we've become a culture that is really without honor. I want to show you an example of a story when Jesus was actually limited in what he was able to do because in his own hometown, the people who should have honored him the most honored him the least. Let me give you the context of Mark chapter 6. Jesus was returning back to his hometown, not his birthplace, but the place where he grew up. And a year prior to this visit, he was actually run out of town, and his own people threatened to kill him. So he comes back after this tour. In our world, we would call it a teaching tour, maybe, where he was teaching God's word, doing all sorts of miracles. He turned water into wine. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes, healed deaf ears, multiplied loaves and fishes to feed thousands. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, which many scholars believe is why Peter later denied Christ. I'm just joking. That didn't happen. But he was doing all these miracles, and then he came back to his hometown, and he actually couldn't do as much, we'll see, because of a lack of honor and faith. Mark chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did he get these things, they asked? What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? In other words, wow, This guy's amazing. His teaching is powerful. His miracles are amazing. How can he do these things? Then verse 3, someone says, hey, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And the Bible says they took offense with him. Isn't this that ordinary guy that we grew up around? You know, wasn't Jesus that kid in class that was always annoying because the teacher always liked him? He always got a 100 on every exam. You know, isn't that the guy who made your kitchen table? Isn't he the ordinary guy we grew up with? Then in verse 4, Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet what? Everybody say it aloud, is a prophet without honor. The Greek word that's translated without honor is the word atimos. And if you're taking notes, here's what it means. It means to dishonor, to treat as common or ordinary. To dishonor, to treat as common or as ordinary. If you want a common or an ordinary marriage, let me tell you how to get one. I promise you. You want a common or an ordinary marriage, dishonor your spouse. Treat them as common or ordinary. Why is it in the early years? It's great and you're all in love because you're continually showing honor. Open the door, you bring presents, here's some flowers. I love you, munchkin, choo-choo-bee-bee-boo-lee-bee-lee-bee-lee-bee-lee. You're showing honor over and over and over again. What happens? You get married, and all of a sudden you start to take one another for granted. You begin, instead of showing honor, you treat each other as common, and suddenly what was great becomes common because you show dishonor. The flip side of dishonor is the word honor. In the Greek, it's the word time. It's spelled T-I-M-E, but it's pronounced time. If you're taking notes, let me show you what this word means. It means to value, to respect, or highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. It's to ascribe worth, to esteem and value. I'll give you an example. I have a basketball that otherwise would be a common or an ordinary basketball. But it's valuable to me because one of the legendary college basketball coaches signed my name, wrote a note, and put his name at the bottom. This ordinary ball is now extraordinary to me because his name is on it. Because I ascribe value to it with his name, I would never treat this ball as common or ordinary. I've got 3 common basketballs that my kids use to shoot hoops at our house. We leave it outside. The dog plays with the balls. We leave it in the mud. We don't care because they're common balls. This one, though, that is valuable to me because the name on it, I have put in a special case, lifted high in my office, and I'm lifting it to display I value this. I would never treat this ball as common or ordinary. What does honoring do? Honoring esteems and lift up. Dishonoring devalues and tears down. To honor someone is to believe the best about them. To dishonor is to believe the worst. Honor lifts, dishonor tears down. I'll give you an example. Years ago, Amy and I were working with this couple, and their marriage was in bad shape. And so we were meeting with them, and over and over and over again, this wife was dishonoring her husband right in front of him, just talking trash about him, on and on and on. I was about to say something, then Amy jumped down her throat, and she said, one of the reasons you got a bad marriage is because you continually dishonor your husband. And then she kind of piped back, and she said, well, if my husband was 1/10 the man that your husband is, I'd show him honor. And Amy shot back and said, maybe my husband is who he is today because I've been showing him honor for all these years, and your husband isn't because you haven't. Good point. Good point. Because honor, it lifts up, it encourages, it builds. Many of you say, well, I can't treat this person as with honor because they're not honorable. No, write this down. Respect is earned. Honor is given. You can honor someone just because of the position or who God has placed around you. Honor is freely given. You may think, well, you know, I'll treat you with honor when you're living honorably. No, check this out. you can treat with honor before they're living honorably, and the honor which you bestow upon them often lifts them to live honorably. It empowers. It encourages. The reason our country, my country, may be the way it is, because over and over again, we've been devaluing people by being dishonoring. Watch what a spirit of dishonor does to the Son of God. Check out what it does. A prophet in his own town is without honor. The very next verse, verse 5, says Jesus what? Everybody say it aloud. The Bible says Jesus could not do any miracles there. Now check this out. Doesn't say wouldn't. Do you notice that? Doesn't say Jesus would not. The Bible says he could not do any miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed, wow, at their lack of faith. I don't fully understand this, but where there was a lack of faith, there was a lack of honor, and where there was a lack of honor and a lack of faith, Jesus could not do what he could do in other places where they believed in him and where they honored him. Tragically, we have become a culture, for the most part, that is without honor. Who are we called to honor? I want to just highlight, the Bible teaches several different groups. I want to highlight what I believe would be the most important three for our context that we are biblically called to honor. The first group, if you're taking notes, the Bible is incredibly clear that we are called to honor our parents. One of the top 10 commands of God, Exodus 20, verse 12, we're told to honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We are told to honor our mothers and our fathers. And tragically today, wouldn't you agree that we can be one of the most dishonoring cultures to our parents? I mean, it's got to break the heart of God to see the way a teenager will mouth off back at their parents, totally dishonor them, say, I hate you, I'm not listening to you, over and over and over again, and this is wrong in every sense. Let me just be old-fashioned for a minute. Is that okay? Okay? I'll be just a little bit old-fashioned. At my house, if I ask a child to do something, the only acceptable response is, yes, sir. That's old-fashioned, I know, but that's a way of showing honor. If my wife asks, the answer is, yes, ma'am. Unless I'm asking my five-year-old daughter, and I'll say, would you do this, JoJo? And she'll often say, yes, ma'am, because she's still getting the yes, ma'am, yes, sir worked out. I know that's old-fashioned, but it's in a way of saying, I honor you as my mother and father. We don't just do this when we're little kids. We do it when we're in our 20s, and when we're in our 30s, and when we're in our 40s, and our 50s. And when we give our parents grandchildren, we honor our parents by speaking well of them in front of our children. You may say, but my mom and dad didn't live honorable lives. Dad ran off with another woman. Mom was a drunk or whatever. Respect is earned. Honor is given. We still honor our mother and father because it is biblically right to do so. Out of a surrendered and a submissive and a grateful heart, we show honor to our mothers and our fathers. The second group we're taught to show honor to, if you're taking notes, is we are commanded to show honor to those who are in authority, to those that God has placed above us. Romans 13 talks about honoring those in the governing authorities and such. Verse 7 tells us to give everyone what you owe him. If you owe respect, then you give that person respect. If you owe honor, then what do you give? The Bible says you give them honor. Give you an example. Recently, I was teaching at a leadership meeting, and I taught on a Thursday. And on Friday, the previous president of my country, President Bush, and his wife, the First Lady, were there to speak on Friday. And I was sitting next to a guy that was not a President Bush fan at all. He said, I didn't vote for him, I didn't like him, I didn't agree with what he did. And he went on and on and on, and he was just whispering in my ear right when the door opened and someone came in carrying the flag of the United States of America, followed by President and this the First Lady, and all of a sudden, everyone in the room stood up and they were cheering, and I looked over at the guy who couldn't stand all that he did, and there were tears coming down his face, and he's cheering, because at that moment, it wasn't a, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I liked President Clinton, or President Obama, or President Bush. It was, I am a citizen of this country, and there is the office who led our country, and you could not show honor. You had to show honor. It was powerful. Then it was crazy. I was sitting on the second row, and President Bush sat right in front of me. I mean, like, right. He was sitting right there, and I was like going. And then I thought, if somebody shoots him, I'm dead. That's what I thought. You know, this is bad. And so it was great to stand up and to give the family that served our country honor, honoring the office of the president. And a lot of people ask, did you get to meet him? I actually did. And I'll go ahead, and I haven't told this publicly yet, and I tell it with great humility. Just tell you what happened. We went up to, we had a reception afterwards, and because I was one of the speakers, we got to spend time together. When I was walking up, I didn't think much of it at the time, but looking back, I realized why it happened. He looked up, and he kind of did just like a, almost like a double take at me, and I didn't think anything of it, and I introduced myself. I said, it's a true honor to meet you. My name is Craig Rochelle. I'm a pastor in Oklahoma. And he paused, and he went, wait a minute. He said, you're that Church Online guy, and my heart's just beating. And he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, but I could rarely go to my Methodist church because I was always on the road. He said, it must have been a half a dozen times that I tuned in, and I watched you minister to me at Church Online. I went, okay. Now, okay, everything I just told you was a lie. I just made all that up. That didn't happen. You guys are clapping. I just made that up. That didn't happen at all. He didn't look at me. I just want to see if you believe that. I'm just totally lying. You guys like clapping. Scary what you'll believe. I shook his hand. He said, nice to meet you. And that was it. And then I walked on. That's all that happened. But it would have been cool, wouldn't it? I mean, that would have been awesome. 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 I'm just messing with you. I shook hands with him. He said, nice to meet you. And I went on down the line. So, yeah. Anyway. You're not going to believe anything I say from here on out, are you? you show honor to those who are in authority over you. Those of you who play sports, you honor your coach. You honor your coach. You honor your teachers, those who instruct and educate you. You honor your boss. You may say, I'm smarter than my boss. You may be, but you still show honor. I want to be the boss one day. Before you learn to be over, you've got to learn to be under, and you're under by showing authority to God who is put over you. We honor those in authority. Ladies, you don't like your husband, he's not a great leader, honor him. You treat him as ordinary and common, and he will not feel empowered to lead. You honor him, and you watch as he grows into the honorable position that God has called him to do. We show honor. The third group, if you're taking notes, and I hope you'll take this seriously, is that we're called by God to show honor to our pastors and our church leaders. We show honor to those who are spiritually instructing and discipling us. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of what? Say it aloud. The Bible says they're worthy of
double
honor. Not just single honor. It's the only place it says this, of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. In case you're wondering, that would be me. Okay? So if you're bringing your local pastor a dozen cookies, you bring me two dozen. This is the word of God. I'm just joking. I really don't want cookies. Smoothies, healthy, that's more my style, but totally joking. It is a biblical mandate that we honor those who are spiritually in authority. And let me just say this. I was working with, consulting with a church a few years ago. This church for 8 years had been in decline. They, year after year after year, they were struggling. They called me in to meet with the elders and the senior pastor to try to figure out what was going on. And every time the senior pastor would speak, they would dishonor him. And they would speak over him. Over and over again, he'd try to say things. We tried that. That doesn't work. And so they went through this whole deal. I kept picking up on this. And at the end, they said, so, Pastor Craig, what do you recommend? And they thought I'd say, you have to start a contemporary service, or you need to restructure, or you need this, that, and the other. And I said, I can promise you the reason why God is not blessing this is because you are not showing honor to the man that God has called to lead you. And immediately they started arguing back. No, you don't understand. I said, no, let me just show you what you said over and over again in the last few moments. He tried to speak, you dishonored him. He said something, and what you're doing is you are discrediting, you are devaluing the office of the pastor, and he does not feel empowered, trusted, or honored to lead. So it just hit them, and they're like, you're right. And one by one, they went around the room and they apologized and repented to their pastor for not speaking well of him, not supporting him. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Within the next 4 years, that church doubled in size as they started showing honor. It's amazing what it does. It's crazy. One of the great things about leading here is you all truly do show honor. Doesn't mean that I don't have critics and people hate me. That's part of it. But as a church, I never feel like people are trying to usurp the authority and power. It's like you say, Craig, if you lead us here, we'll go. And guess what that does? That makes me say, oh my gosh, I better seek God. Craig, if you're telling us this is where God's calling us to go, we'll go with you. Oh my gosh, what does it do? It does something. It lifts me. It values. It makes me take seriously the role that God has given when you show honor. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Here's the assignment. The Bible says so clearly, just make this your assignment. Romans 12:10. We are to love one another with brotherly affection. We're told to do what? Say the next word aloud. We're told to outdo one another in what? In showing honor. When you go to those who serve you every week in church, you outdo them by showing honor. Today, those of you who have kids that are being ministered to by someone else, giving their time to spiritually impact your children, when you see them, man, you bend over backwards to outdo them in showing them honor for what they're doing for you. You find out their names. You bring them a little gift card. You find out their birthdays. You show honor to the ones who serve you over and over again. Someone picks you up in a little golf cart. It's raining. They're sopping wet, and they put you in and take you in. You show honor to them. Those of you at Church Online, there are other churches that host over 50 experiences. There are people from countries around the world dedicated to ministering every week. Find out who they are. Show them honor online. Those of you who go to a life group and someone opens up their home week after week, we do that. Every Wednesday, it's clean when they show up, and when their kids leave, it's dirty. You show honor to those who minister to you. You say thank you, and you outdo one another in showing honor. You want a great marriage? Let me tell you how to have a great marriage. You outdo each other. You lift them up. You encourage them. You highly esteem and show value. Lift them up and watch as they grow into what you speak over them in faith. You highly esteem by showing honor and value. Let me do this for a moment. I want to take a moment and do something that's very special to me. I want to honor a few people. The first person I want to publicly show honor to is my best friend and the mother of my 6 children. I want to publicly honor the most godly woman that I know. And I want to say to you, Amy, I am forever indebted to your faithfulness, to your prayers, to your friendship, to your support. I honor you for all the private sacrifices that you have made that no one will ever know about but us, to all the private pain that you've endured, and to the fact that you love Jesus more today and love his people more than you ever have. I honor you for your friendship, your godliness, and your partnership. You are the best friend I've ever had, Amy. I'm going to kiss you hard. And I do. I honor my wife. I honor her. I honor her, and I thank God for her. I want to honor my staff. I truly do. I honor the staff who serve so faithfully. There are 4 men that most of you have no idea who they are, and they've served with me for over 10 years in the leadership of this church. Jerry Hurley, Sam Roberts, Kevin Penry, and Bobby Grunewald. For over 10 years, these men have faithfully served as the leadership strength behind this church. I honor those great men. I honor their family. I want to honor my senior pastor, Nick Harris, my pastor, who at the age of 22 took a risk on me, didn't know, come here from Sikkim, and he gave me a chance to stretch my leadership muscles and gifts and become who I am today because a man believed in me. I want to take a moment, and I want to honor you all. What I believe to be the most courageous and innovative church on the planet. I say, hey, let's go do multi-site. You're like, woohoo! Let's try video. Woohoo! Let's give everything away to churches around the world. Woohoo! Let's give faith. Woohoo! Let's reach our friends. Woohoo! We're going to do anything short of sin to reach people. Woohoo! You guys are courageous. You are the best of the best. You are generous. You are faithful. You are growing, and I honor you. Above all else, I honor the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I honor the Son of God, the risen Christ, who gave his life and touched my heart. I honor him for changing me into a new creation, for forgiving me for more sin than you could ever imagine, for filling me with His Holy Spirit, and for empowering me to do things I couldn't do on my own. I honor Him for who He is. Why is it? Why is it that we are a culture without honor? Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. If you're taking notes, write this down. The reason our culture is dishonoring is because people aren't honoring God. All true honor is born out of a heart surrendered to the King of Kings. Psalm 22, verse 23 says, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him, all you descendants of Jacob. Honor Him, revere Him, all you descendants of Israel." The problem is we're treating God as common. We're too familiar with Him. He's too ordinary. He's the big guy upstairs. He's the big man. Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is not your homeboy, dear 6 pound, 8 ounce baby Jesus. Jesus is not a little baby in a manger. He is the soon coming, returning, ruling, reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He comes back, He's coming back with a sword. He is the righteous one who shed His blood that we would live. When we don't treat God as common or ordinary, but see Him who He is, we will honor others because His name is on our hearts. We are not common or ordinary because we're made valuable by His name. When we get that, we will return and reclaim the forgotten virtue of honor. It's right. It's holy. Baseball fans. How many baseball fans? Babe Ruth? Anybody like Babe Ruth? Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth? Babe Ruth? Watch this. All eight of you who know what I'm doing, this is a holy moment right now. I'm not going to tell the rest of the losers that don't know. This is like a sports moment. Glory. It makes me feel close to God just thinking about it. Babe Ruth, it's told that there are seven home run bats that were autographed that the Babe signed. And the very first one was lost for decades. Nobody knew where it was. They found out where it was. They traced it back. And what had happened years ago, his agent gave it out at a home run contest when some guy won it, and then he just kind of disappeared. They didn't know who he was and where it was. And for years, he kept this as his honored possession. On his deathbed, he had outlived everybody in his family, and he gave it to his nurse, the woman who served him, and said, "You're the closest person that I know and love, and I want to give you my most valuable possession." Well, she didn't know a lot about baseball, but she knew that was pretty special. And so for the next 18 years, she kept it in a safe place under her bed and in honor of the guy who gave it to her. Well, she came on hard times financially, and she was trying to open up a business. And so she thought, I wonder if that bat's worth anything. She took it down to this sports place and said, "Is this worth anything?" The guy's eyes got big and looking at it, and went and brought other people in. And the experts said, "This is actually, we think, the very first of seven autographed Babe Ruth bats." So it went to an auction, and in 2006, it sold for $1.3 million. And so she opened up her restaurant. And she took all of the remaining money and started a foundation to serve the children that Babe Ruth wanted to serve at the end of his life. And when the reporter asked her, "Why did you put all that money into foundation to help others?" she said, "The bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it, and so the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life because he made it valuable." You are valuable because of what Jesus did. And if you're a believer, because His name is on your heart. The only reasonable response we have is to do something with our lives to honor Him. Sadly, though, here's what the Bible says, and this is true of so many today. Isaiah 29, verse 13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth," and they do what? Say it aloud. "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We will not be a generation that gives God lip service, but we will give Him heart honor because He is truly the only one worthy of honor and praise and glory. And when we realize who we are because of what He did, then we'll see the value in others and show honor to them because they were valuable enough for Jesus to give His life. When we know who He is and we honor him, then we will reclaim the forgotten virtue of honor, lift others up, esteem value to them, and this world will become more of what God intended it to be when we reclaim the forgotten virtue of honor. Let's pray. God, I ask, and this is a big ask, I ask that you would do what I cannot do, and that your Holy Spirit would plant this message deep within our hearts. As you're praying today at all of our churches, many of you would say, I have been dishonoring, maybe to my parents, maybe to my spouse, maybe to my boss, maybe to spiritual leaders. Maybe you haven't been just blatantly dishonoring, but maybe by default, you really haven't intentionally shown honor. And today, the Spirit of God is convicting you. This is right. It is biblical. It is something that would truly honor God, is to honor others. And you'd say, I want to be more honoring. God, help me to be more honoring. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hands high right now? Lift them up. Lift them up in a moment of faith. Just a bunch of hands going up. Thank you, God. I pray, oh God, that you would bring this message, that you would change our hearts to believe in it. To give us opportunities, God, give us eyes to see today those we can show honor to. God, may we never be guilty of good intentions only, but to follow through, write the notes, say the words, give the gift, reach out to publicly honor. But more than just publicly, God, even privately in our hearts, may we have a posture of honor to those around us. God, we thank you in advance for all the opportunities you're going to give us as a church and individually to give honor where honor is due. Out of a reflection, God, for the true honor that we owe you, the honorable King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As you keep praying today, let me just ask you this. At all of our churches, let me ask you this. Is your life honoring God? Are you honoring God? Because sadly today, there are so many people who are giving him lip service. I go to church. Yeah, I believe in him. Yeah, I did that thing. Yeah, I prayed the prayer. It's lip service. But their hearts are far from him. Perhaps today there are many of you, you're going to recognize for the most part your deal with God is just lip service. Your life is not on. If your life is not honoring him, chances are you've maybe never really met him. Let me tell you how he honored you. While you were still sinners, he sent his son Christ, who shed his blood and died so you could be forgiven, so I could be forgiven, so that anyone who calls on his name would be made new. All your sins would be cast away. He would fill you with the Spirit of God. There are those of you here, you're going to recognize your life is not honoring him. I believe when you meet him, when you're forgiven, you will be transformed. You will be changed. You will be new. If you recognize my life is not honoring him, call on him today. Ask Jesus to invade your heart. He will. He will transform you. You will become a new creation. All the old will be gone, and everything will become new. There are many of you, that's why you're here today, to call on him. Transform me. I give you all of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I make you my Savior. I make you my Lord. Today, I honor you by giving you my life. It's your prayer today at all of our churches. Would you just lift up your hands high right now? Just say, yes, that's me. Lift them up high, and let me just meet you eye to eye. Up here close, God bless you, and right back over here in this section. Others of you who would say, me too, right back here and way back here toward the back. God bless all of you way back here and right up here close over here on this side. Welcome into God's family. Others of you today who would say, yes, right back over here, way back here toward the back. Others who would say, yes, I give you my life. Forgive me. Change me. I want to honor you by laying down my life to serve you. Take all of it. Others of you today who would say, that's my prayer. Pray together, everybody together, right back over here as well. Right back over here. Pray aloud, just all of our churches. Pray, Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. Make me brand new. Today I choose to honor you by putting you first, my Savior and my Lord. My life is no longer my own. I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Through Christ, now my life is his. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody take a moment to honor and worship the God who makes all things new through his Son Christ.